Hello, this is Dan Sheridan. Good evening, everyone. Your host of Unsearchable Riches. We're here live in the studio tonight, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin Zender. Martin, hello.
Good evening, Dan.
Good evening. Appreciate you all joining us. And just another announcement I want to make in all kindness and charity here, but this will be our last month on the radio. Salem Communications has mentioned that we will no longer be broadcasting after August 31st. For those of you who have been listening to this program, you know that we have some views regarding death and resurrection that are not held by, we'll call it, mainstream Christianity, what have you. That's okay. They've asked us to, they've given us the rest of the month to finish this program. And so we thank you all for listening. But I hope you listen for the rest of this month.
We have a message that's Christian and getting kicked off a Christian station.
Well, Martin, that's sometimes how it goes, brother. But we'll have to address that on another time in another forum. But we want to appreciate all of our listeners. We hope you've found some freedom. And by the way, if you do disagree with our message, you can, instead of talking to somebody else and complaining, you can call us. We'd be happy to listen. If you have good reasoning from the scriptures to tell us why we're wrong, that's what we're here for. We want to prove all things by scripture. Well, tonight we have an interesting topic, don't we, Martin?
Yeah.
All right. Tonight we're going to talk about cults. How to identify a cult. I've been called a member of a cult in time past. Have you, Martin?
I have too. And you know, whenever you have something that goes against what the mainstream teaches, people automatically say, oh, that guy's in a cult. But when you listen to some of the things we've been saying on this show, such as Jesus is a successful savior,
yeah,
God is in control of the world, these things sound so simple, a child would believe them, and yet they clash against Christian doctrine. And we've talked about this. We find ourselves in an era where the church has come to love tradition more than truth.
Yeah, right.
It's infected with that. And in fact, we show from the scriptures that Jesus is such a good savior that he's the savior of all mankind.
Yeah.
Does that make me in a cult? I can prove it from scripture.
Yeah, in many places. Yeah, I'm going to read you from your book. By the way, Martin wrote a fantastic book called How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. And when we say church here, we're not talking about the church of which Christ is the head. We're talking about the machinery out there, the big Madison Avenue church that uses worldly techniques to try to promote itself. And you have this excellent book, and many have read it and found freedom. I was just talking to somebody recently about their mother quit church because of issues with a choir. It's amazing why people quit church nowadays, all the fights that go on regarding the building and the maintenance and so on and so forth, because it's really not centered around Christ nowadays, is it? It's about a program of some kind. But you have on page 115 of your book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, this phrase: what is a cult? The first dictionary definition of a cult is a particular system of religious worship, especially with reference to its rites and ceremonies. That's your quote. And then your comment is, you were expecting Charles Manson? The key words here are system, rites, and ceremonies. People love this stuff. Systems, rites, and ceremonies make people feel all warmish inside. They give them that special sense of belonging to something larger than themselves. People slip into systems, rites, and ceremonies like they slip into hot tub. Any comments on that, Martin?
Satan's lies are deceptively packaged. And I contend to you and to all those listening that religion and the institutions of men are the inventions of Satan to keep people occupied, singing songs, congratulating each other, fun food and fellowship, anything to keep them from apprehending the glories of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And doctrine is being driven from churches today because that breaks people up.
Yeah.
You don't want to bring up doctrine because then somebody will get mad. And the goal of the church today is to make everybody happy, to bomb you with love, Love bombing, that's a technique of a cult. They're going to make you feel that we are the answer to your needs, and they're going to feed you and clothe you and comfort you. And in the meantime, you're going to be indoctrinated into a system of beliefs that becomes hideous. You begin to see that the love of God that you knew as a child, now somehow eternal torment becomes acceptable to you. Well, that must be just part of the love of God. Mm. And when you were a child, you believed that God's in control of everything. Now, when you become indoctrinated into a religious system, you find out that it's up to you to control your destiny. Mm. And Satan is running loose, and all these fears come into you in the religious realm. You didn't have these fears as an innocent child. Jesus Christ didn't give any of these fears to those who followed him. Fears have been introduced by a twisting of the scripture, by false teaching, by subtle little twists, and only an adversary as crafty as Satan can do this and paint it white and put a cross on it and call it Christianity.
Those are some harsh words.
They're
very, very solemn words. One of the things I found interesting is that I point this out to many people, is that we often, like, we're going to talk a little about Bob Larson's book called Larson's New Book of Cults. And what's interesting about that book, as you point out in your book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, is before he describes a cult, he makes sure that he kind of puts a veil over the group that he belongs to. And so, so we would never think that something under the name Christian could fall under the title cult. But we have modern Pharisees today as we did back in the first century. Now, one of the signs of the Pharisee is, as the Lord Jesus says, that the Pharisees locked out the kingdom of heaven against men, and they wouldn't permit others to go in. In other words, by their character and their beliefs and their teaching, they shut out truth, they shut out life in the kingdom from the Jewish perspective to the common folk because of their positions. And it's interesting, when the Lord Jesus came and spoke about life and resurrection, and then he proved that he was the resurrection and life by raising Lazarus from the dead, after that happened, the Pharisees got all concerned. And in verse 47 of John 12, he says, "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone,'" in other words, if we don't shut him up, "all men will believe on him. And then what would be the result? And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." So the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, were more concerned with their esteem and their prestige and their place, as it were, their church system that they had set up more than they were with Messiah. And so the question is, if Christ were to come back today, what would the modern leaders do to him? Are we any different today than the Pharisees of the first century? Are the church leaders of this day any different?
They would think that they were, but they're not.
Well, let's
go ahead.
No, I was gonna get to the cult comments from Bob Larson's book. Well, you want to make another comment? It sounds like you're in the middle of something. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I do want to talk about Bob Larson's book, but I want to preface this with a piece of scripture because this is the most startling scripture you're going to hear probably. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 13. Paul talks about, "Such are false apostles and fraudulent workers being transfigured into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is being transfigured into a messenger of light. It is no great thing then if his servants also are being transfigured as dispensers of righteousness, whose consummation shall be according to their acts." Satan is crafty today. Back in the days of Job, his attacks were frontal. He attacked Job physically. But now, since the cross, he is a far craftier adversary. And now he is putting forth his teachings through false apostles, fraudulent workers, get this, being transfigured into apostles of Christ, Who else could be an apostle of Christ transfigured into one except a Christian?
Mm.
What a deception to take these very subtle lies that says man is in charge of his own fate, not Christ ultimately. It's up to you to decide. Man is in charge. And how about this one? That Satan himself is going to win a large portion of the universe away from God. That's a false teaching. And yet this is put forward. This is exactly what the church teaches. And we receive these teachings through those called apostles of Christ. And this is the very deception that Paul mentions here. This isn't some heathen in the darkest of Africa. This isn't some aborigine in the bush, somebody who's never heard of Christ. These are apostles of Christ. These are the ones who are going to be putting forward this deception. And then to say that Satan himself is going to be transfigured into a messenger of light, not evil, and yet you pick up a Christian tract on the streets of Chicago, and Satan's got a pointy tail and a handlebar mustache, and he says, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah, I used to hand out those chick tracts, and that's how they portray Satan, like he's in hell. Martin, one of the first things in your book on page 123, you quote Bob Larson. And it says, one of the first signs of a cult is absolute loyalty. Allegiance to the sect is demanded and enforced by actual or veiled threats to one's body or eternal spiritual condition. Now, the question is, does Christianity, the Christian religion, fit this bill?
And, you know, the reason I wrote this in my book anyways, because I was tired of people telling me, oh, you're in a cult, before they even listen to what I have to say, follow my scriptures. And so I got really disgusted with it, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to find a book by a Christian guy on cults. And so I got this book by Bob Larson, the new book on cults, and I thought, I'm going to put this to the test. There's 19 points in here of what characterizes a cult. I'm going to apply these to Bob Larson's religion and to myself and see who wins. You know, whoever gets the most points wins.
Well, look at that. And look at that first comment, though. He says that they threaten you. One of the signs of a cult is that if you don't have allegiance to their sect, they demand and enforce by actual or veiled threats to one's body or eternal spiritual condition. I was taught if I didn't go to a recognized church, that I'd be in trouble with the Lord. By the way, we have a caller on line one, Nick from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Nick, you're on the program with Martin and Dan.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, thank you, Nick, for calling.
Hey, Nick, good to hear from you.
Hey, Martin, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, just wanted to call and let you guys know. Disappointed I wasn't here. The show's going to be going off the air, probably because of shows like the one we're having tonight. But I have to agree with you guys.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Anything else,
more
Nick?
Comments?
No, I just wanted. That's all I wanted to say. I was just really disappointed to hear, and I'm going to. Guys are doing a good job.
All right, guys. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Nick.
Now, one of the other signs of a cult that Bob Larson says in his book is this, and I find this amazing. On page 129, chanting and meditation. Here's what Bob Larson said fits a cult. Objective intellectual input is avoided by countering anti-cult questions with repetitious songs and chants.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Don't most churches hire somebody and they call them worship leaders for that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I call it the shut up and sing syndrome. You know, when people start asking questions about God and things are getting hot, shut up and sing. You know, it's all about it's mainly about music.
Yeah.
Entertainment.
So listen to that again. This is what Bob Larson says about a cult. Obviously, he didn't think it applied to his church. But it says objective intellectual input is avoided. In other words, you don't answer Bible questions. There's a very large church here, Martin, in our area. It's a super church. And I used to go there in the late 80s, and I remember I was struggling as a young man. I was a teenager, 19 years old at the time, and I went up to the pastor of this church and at a private moment, and he can see I was in distress about a doctrinal issue. And when I asked him the question, he says, I can't answer it. Just stay away from those people. And I can't answer unless I go against the doctrines of my church. Like you said, objective intellectual input is avoided by countering anti-cult questions with repetitious songs and chants. Most of those services were filled with, you go to school for it. I just lost my mind. I got a splitting headache, Martin. It was filled with shows, as it were, where people were doing actings and a lot of music over and over again. And for the years I went to this place, I never got one biblical doctrine answered. Not one. And so I think this fits the bill for modern Christianity. In my years, the best study, the best times I have with other fellow Christians are when we meet in homes or as groups, and we open the Bible together, because then we can actually get down to the meat and potatoes of Holy Scripture and learn about the risen Lord Jesus Christ and what He'd have for us this day. But here, according to Bob Larson, one of the characteristics of a cult is they don't deal with doctrinal issues. Instead, they replace it with a lot of songs that repeat themselves. I used to go to another church where they'd say, they'd have a song and they'd sing, "I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, da 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 da."
And I praise you, Jesus, I praise you, Jesus, I praise you, Jesus, I praise you, Jesus.
Well, I'll give you another one. I haven't heard. This is our last month on the air, and we will be going off the air at the end of the month because of our doctrinal beliefs. And so we just want to we hope you all continue to listen on the internet, because we'll continue putting our program on there. But another one, number five, it says doctrinal confusion. This is Bob Larson's comment. Incomprehensible truths, he puts the word truths in quotes, are more readily accepted when presented in a complex fashion that encourages rejection of logical thought.
Yeah,
I'm going to read that again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Doctrinal confusion. Incomprehensible truths are more readily accepted when presented in a complex fashion that encourages rejection of logical thought. Boy, I tell you, I've run into this one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, listen, we're scholars. We're going to tell you how it is. Don't ask us how we got to our conclusions.
Yeah, it's like, we can explain it. It's just the way it is. I had a conversation with a couple friends on New Year's, and we were talking about who saved them. Well, they insisted that Jesus was their Savior. I said, well, wait a minute, you guys believe that you chose Christ, and that's why you're saved. Well, yeah, but Jesus doesn't save us. Well, wait a minute, how did He do it? He just made it possible. You guys actually saved yourselves by believing. Well, yes, but Jesus still saved us. Well, how can that be? Well, God's just not logical. You can't figure it out with your natural mind. Ooh, that's the sign of a cult.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sign of a cult. And you try to explain the facts to them that, look, only God can give you faith. God's responsible for your belief. That goes against free will. You can't do that. So we have to try to believe the truth and the falsehood at the same time. That makes some perfectly decent trains crash, you know.
I was with a group once, Martin, and I had some questions regarding Romans 6 and the word baptism there. And the brother said, stop thinking and just submit to your elders.
You gotta be kidding.
I'm not kidding you. That was his word. They didn't like the fact that we would ask questions about doctrinal matters. On page 145 of your book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, you quote Bob Larson again, one of the other comments he has about a characteristic of a cult. He says, it's exclusive. Exclusive. You want to say that word?
I'll say that for you. Exclusivity.
I got a headache. And then he says, those outside the cults are viewed as spiritually inferior, creating an exclusive and self-righteous we versus they attitude.
Yeah, for eternity. Talk about we versus they for eternity. Christians are so proud, but they try to hide it, but they just can't, because, darn it, they made a wise decision that those other idiots didn't make. And that's why they're going to heaven and you're going to hell, because they're smarter than you. Of course, they'll call it, Jesus saved me. But no, I'm going to heaven because I did something you didn't do, you idiot. I was at least wise enough to choose Jesus. You didn't, so you're going to where you deserve to go. Well, wait a minute, is it grace or is it something you did that they didn't do? Well, just stop thinking about it. You know, it comes back to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. I'm going to give you another one, his eighth one. Bob Larson, his book says, his eighth comment that characterizes a cult, he says, hypnotic states. And he comments by saying, inducing a highly susceptible state of mind may be accomplished by chanting, repetitious singing, or meditation. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting these healing services are never performed without an organ? Isn't it interesting that these...
have the organ.
Can you imagine, why is it that these guys cannot do these so-called miracles in private or go to a hospital and start healing people? Why is it that you have to get in a surrounding where you get the music going to just the right pitch, to get the right emotion, and then everyone starts gibberishing and all that other stuff? Isn't that cultic?
It is absolutely cultic, and I can't believe Bob Larson could sit in front of a word processor, write these 19 points of a cult, and not see the big finger pointing back at himself.
We have another caller. We have Gene on line one from Gainesville, Georgia. We're going all over the country tonight. Gene, how are you? Welcome. You're online here with Martin and Dan.
Well, I am certainly pleased to be online with you guys. But you know who I am, don't you?
Yeah, you're Gene from Gainesville, Georgia.
How you doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
Yeah, your comments today made me think of 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears.
Yeah, that earmarks this era for sure. They get teachers who tell them what they want to hear, and if they don't, then they'll just get rid of them.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, I'm really disappointed to hear that your radio show will be canceled at the end of the month. And,
well, I just can't believe it's because we're teaching out of the scriptures that clash against the traditions of men. This is truth versus the traditions of men. And apparently the radio station's run by those who embrace the traditions of men. I mean,
they want to have their ears itched. They're heaping up for themselves people that they want to listen to. They don't want to listen to you.
I would not want to be these people standing at the judgment seat of Christ because, you know, anybody that would silence the truth, that's also the mark of a cult. Especially when they have a contract.
And
anyway.
before we go, we're almost out of time here. And let me just make a comment to our listeners, because we're concerned with those of you who really love Christ, the Bible, and Christians. What can people do if they're trapped in the Christian cult, not the Christianity, the Bible? We're talking about, we believe in Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible, the Savior, the one who is a redeemer, who through his shed blood purchased salvation. Those who are involved, what can they do? What can they do? What kind of advice can we give to the people out there?
Well, they've got to quit ignoring Paul, in my opinion.
To read the scripture. They have to read the scriptures. They have to seek for themselves. They can no longer afford to get their doctrine through a drive-through window.
Yep.
You have to sit down and think, what do I really really believe? Is God important, or have I just fallen into a club where I feel comfortable?
Martin, I heard a preacher yesterday, somebody called this preacher regarding questions, and his comment was, get involved in a local church and follow whatever doctrine they teach and read the people they recommend.
You know, that fits point 18 in Bob Larson's book, which is unquestioning submission. Acceptance of cult practices is achieved by discouraging any questions or natural curiosity that may challenge what the leaders propagate.
Amazing. That was written to talk about something that wasn't connected with the Christian church, and it fits the modern Christian church perfectly. Acceptance.
A-T. Every
yes.
Point, all 19 points fit. There's not one miss here. Not one miss here, Dan. Every point fits. 19 points in a book by a Christian guy who sets himself up as the mother of all cult detectors, and by doing that, he evades suspicion from himself.
That's
and the Pharisees
right.
Did the same thing. We'll tell you when the Messiah comes. Don't worry, people.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight. We're coming to an end of our program. Remember this, Jesus Christ is not only necessary, he's enough. And the Bible is the sole representative of what God wants us to know. That's the only place we can go to know what God wants for us and what God has to teach us about himself. In the written word of God alone. Go there and study it. Our web address, crossandthrone.com. Call us at our office, 847-201-1060. And until next time, everyone, believe God no matter what the clergy tell you.